So I have got a heap of data breach related stuff this week. It's kind of like every other week, but last week it was like I'm drowning in data. I've got so much stuff that I'm trying to verify, trying to disclose, all this sort of thing. This week is more about a whole bunch of stuff that has gone public, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff which is still pending as well. And one of the first ones I want to talk about here is a service called SlickWraps. Now, this is just really interesting the way this has played out, and I'm gonna try and pick as I go along how much I'm gonna say about this. But I've got a blog post here on latesthackingnews.com. I'm gonna link to this, and I'm just gonna sort of pick a bit of stuff out of here. So there's a Twitter account here called Lynx, and Lynx has tweeted here. Lynx doesn't tweet anymore because Lynx's Twitter account is now gone, inevitably because of the things that they were doing on Twitter, and the tweets here say there's a proof of concept here, http://slickwraps.com-proofofconcept.txt. Now, I imagine all this is gone now, not even checked, but they would have cleaned up. This, I assume, is a proof that they've been able to upload some data to the site. There's a follow-up tweet here, says, "So much for customer care. Guess you won't respond to my email either. There's only one option left then, going public soon." And they have tweeted a screen cap of SlickWraps having blocked them on Twitter. Now, how should we say this? Because it's on the public timeline, SlickWraps did get in touch with me, and I did have a chat to the guy that runs SlickWraps, and it's just sort of really interesting to sort of hear things from their perception. I've been chatting with the person who was responsible for the data breach here as well, hearing things from their perception as well. And then also learning later on that apparently this whole wrapping industry, and in case you're not familiar with what wrapping is, which I had barely given much thought to, this is not like wraps for your car. This is wraps for your phone or your watch or your AirPods. Incidentally, new AirPods. Very nice. I love these AirPods. So, other ones got lost somewhere. So, what you do is you can get your things like this, like that, and you can wrap them in a theme. So, you know, it might just be like make it look like carbon, or it might be, you know, Mario theme or something like that. And it's literally, as best I can tell, just like stickers, like a vinyl high quality sticker that goes on. You know, fine, that's great. And what seems to have happened as I've watched this whole thing play out is that there's another company that does similar things, seems to have quite a larger following, called Dbrand. And Dbrand is sort of enjoying seeing SlickWraps get thrown under the bus, and then SlickWraps has got a whole bunch of people jumping to its defense, except most of the accounts jumping to its defense were only just created and have zero followers, which may or may not have been SlickWraps. You don't know. SlickWraps doesn't seem to think it is, but it's not a good look. But then again, maybe that's a misinformation campaign as well, and it's actually from Dbrand. So there's all of these sort of cloak and dagger things going on in the background. And the only thing I really know for sure is that there was a lot of gigabytes of data taken from the system, sent to me, 857,000 email addresses in there, gone into have I been pwned as well. So it was just a real sort of mess on all fronts, and it's for I don't want to say it's an unimportant site, because it is, and it's someone's life work as well, who's put their heart and soul into building this thing, but it is ultimately transfers on electronic devices. I'm going to talk about another one later on, which is actually really, really serious business too. So it was just a really weird one, the way it played out. Oh, here was the other thing. I'm just scrolling through this blog post. So one of the things that happened is after their data was taken, and it's not clear whether it's the Lynx Twitter account or someone else, maybe Lynx gave it to someone else, it looks like every single one of their customers has been sent an email which says, "If you're reading this, it's too late. We have your data. Here's where you live." So someone's mail merged it because there are addresses in there. Fair enough. You've got to have addresses. They're shipping things to people. How do we have this data? We read this. English grammar, not so good. And then there's a Medium blog post here. The Medium blog post got taken down. Of course, it's archived on the web. And the Medium blog post just absolutely goes to town on SlickWraps. So there's the Medium blog post. So what are we doing with your data? Not much. Brackets, that's good. We're just using 377,000 emails from their customer database to send this mass email. Now, a question that came up is, I just said 857. This one says 377. It looks like there are a lot of email addresses on their mailing list as well. And as far as I'm concerned, for Have I Been Pwned, and I have asked people this many, 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 many times, if your email address is in the breach, you get notified. You go to the count, whether you're a customer or just someone who has the newsletter, doesn't matter. And of course, there's a whole bunch of tweets here from people who've got this message. They're tweeting it out. The other thing they did is, whoever sent this email, is they've said, here is your local regulator, go and lodge complaints with them. So clearly they're trying to do like maximum damage to Slick Reps. Now, whether or not anything actually comes from that is not quite clear. Now, Slick Reps did send a message out to people. I thought the message they sent was pretty good. I wasn't involved in that message. They did get their message out to people pretty quickly. I'll give you an example of what I mean by I think it's pretty good. So it says, Slick Reps users, there is nothing we value higher than your trust from our users. Okay, that's a bit we take security seriously. In fact, our entire business model is dependent on building long-term trust with customers that keep coming back. Fair enough. We are reaching out to you because we've made a mistake in violation of that trust. Now, I've said many, many times before, in fact, I got a blog post called Data Breach Disclosure 101, How to Succeed After You Fail, said many times, I would hope there's some empirical evidence as well, that just simply owning your mistake, and it is a mistake, I mean, they cocked up. There's no polite way of putting it. Owning the mistake is really important. I'm going to give you an example a little bit later on of an organization that really hasn't owned their mistake very well. Do I have that on my list to talk about today? Yes, I do. So many data breaches. So many breaches. So they own that there on Feb 21. We discovered information in some of non-production. See, this is the awkward bit. We discovered information in some of our non-production databases was mistakenly made public via an exploit. Which, of course, begs the question, what is production data doing in a non-production database? Was this a backup in a test environment, or was it just there for like testing, or what was it? During this time, the databases... plural, were accessed by an unauthorized party. Information did not contain passwords or personal financial data. True, at least from what I've seen. Information did contain names, user emails, addresses. If you ever checked out as guest, none of information was comprised. I think what you mean is compromised. Not great having a typo in a disclosure message, but look, they're under a lot of pressure. They would have probably rushed it a little bit. Anyway, so the thing that it got me kind of thinking about is a combination of someone trying to disclose shouldn't get blocked. I'm not sure how their behavior was that caused Slick Reps to block them, but this is possibly the outcome of that. Certainly the block was part of the fuel that Lynx poured on the fire when they justified the dumping of all the data. And then, of course, emailing all your customers is terrible. I am really curious, though. And I do want to reach back out to the Slick Reps folks in a few months and just go, look, this is not a fun experience, but what happened to your sales? Did they actually change? How much do people care that you've had a data breach? So I'm really curious. Remind me if I forget in a few months from now. Check with Slick Reps. Okay, data breach number one. Now, many more to come here. Now, here is the one with the terrible disclosure. There is an organization in Israel called Strafik. Now, because these companies always just have the most epic descriptions of what they do, let's explain what Strafik does. Private performance marketing network. Strafik connects affiliates with high converting CPA and CPL offers from trusted advertisers. What we do, count on us to achieve your marketing goals. At Strafik, we make it our highest priority to help our publishers promote and earn as much as possible while continuously providing our advertisers with the highest quality traffic, performance marketing, blah, 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 blah. They have had, maybe still have, there's multiple backups of it now, a very, very large amount of data belonging to people who didn't expect to be in there. Now, off the top of my head, when I say very large amounts of data, it was somewhere around 304, I think, million rows of data. There were, what did I say here in the breach, which just went up this morning, 48 and a half, rounds up to 49 million unique email addresses. And alongside these are phones, addresses, names, genders, Three options for gender. One, two, or three, I assume. One is male, one is female, one's probably not specified. So this is a heap of data. Now, when I loaded this into Have I Been Pwned this morning, there were tens of thousands of emails that went out, and this is obviously just to Have I Been Pwned subscribers. And then I got the inevitable influx of emails or other tweets from people saying, hey, just got this from Have I Been Pwned, who the hell is Strafik? It's just another one of these data aggregators that siphoned all this up. Now, there is actually an interest, I was going to say funny sort of depends your perspective, but an interesting story behind this. And I worked with Jeremy Kirk from Data Breach Today. I've been keeping Jeremy very busy lately with a number of these things. And worked with him on this to sort of get the story together. Journalists are very good at getting to the bottom of this. It was hard for him to actually get a reply from them. But there's a really interesting sort of angle to this where there's a guy from Twitter who originally reached out to me and said, look, I've got this data. The reason I discovered it is I keep getting all this spam. So I'm searching the internet trying to find out, well, like, where is my data? How can I keep getting all the spam? And he manages to find this exposed Elasticsearch instance with 140 gigabytes of data, which is the Strafik folks. So I get the sense that this bloke has got a little bit of screw you guys going on here insofar as he kept getting all the spam. He managed to track it back to them, possibly. And now he's like, well, here you go. Now you're all over the news. Now, Data Breach Disclosure Message. This is, without doubt, one of the worst Data Breach Disclosure Messages I have ever seen. Now, the title of this is Update of Vulnerability Found. Dear Strafik, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it's not long enough to take too long to read anyway. And we're going to critique it. Dear Strafik user, we would like to bring to your attention that we have been... English is terrible on this too. We'd like to bring to your attention that we have been reported that a security vulnerability has been found on one of the servers we use to provide our services. That vulnerability is known as not having a bloody password on your database. Following this report, we confirmed a weakness did exist and promptly patched it, put a password on the database, in addition to fortifying our existing security protocols. Maybe put passwords on all their databases. I'm enjoying this too much. As of now, all systems are secure and we did not find evidence of any data misuse or data loss. Jeremy has like literally told them, by the way, we have like 140 gigabytes of your data. Now, maybe they're right because it's not lost. We know where it is. We've just now got a globally redundant distribution of the data. We continue to investigate and will notify if we find any evidence to the contrary. Although we do our very best to protect the security of our service and deeply regret such a vulnerability has been found on our service, and this is the worst bit of the whole thing, it is impossible to create a totally immune system, and these things can occur. This is so dog ate my homework. This is just an absolutely terrible response. This line in here serves no purpose other than to try and shift blame to someone else. It's like, well, we got hacked, but a lot of people get hacked these days. We would like to express our gratitude for those of you who notified us. Those of you, how many were there? And ask that you help us keep our services safe. Will you put a password on your database? And that's kind of, that's pretty much it. Probably don't leave it publicly facing as well, but anyway. So this is just terrible. And it's another case of data aggregator just... I don't even know if gone rogue is the right word, because it could be that they're operating entirely legally. And it could be that our data flowed through there. My data wasn't in this one. It's in another one I'm going to talk about in a moment. But it could be that our data flowed through to there because we signed up to something and agreed to the terms and conditions, which, of course, we never read. And somewhere in there, it's like sharing data with partners and then just replicates and replicates. So that's kind of terrible. And with 49 million email addresses in there, there are inevitably email addresses from people all around the world as well. So this is not just, certainly not something which impacts Israeli people. I did the lookup today. There's about 8.5 million people in Israel. So a lot of US people in there, a lot of European people in there as well. I assume some Aussies too. But data breaches don't discriminate that way. All right, so that was Strafik. Not good for Strafik. What was the next one here? Boy, oh boy, this is just nonstop. Oh, yay. This one's awkward. So, there is... In fact, this is interesting, and let's just work on the assumption everyone's going to be mature about this. There is a website called OnlyFans, and I'm just going to read this from the BuzzFeed description here. It's not that I go out looking for BuzzFeed stories, although in fairness, some of them are quite okay. This was all over my Twitter feed this morning because, let's see what the description is here. OnlyFans is a British social media platform popular with influencers, porn actors, and sex workers. It allows users to host images and video content behind a paywall for subscribers. So long story short, the news that I started to see this morning, in fact, I'm going to have a look at what the message I got was. How did they phrase this? Okay. I got pointed to someone who was tweeting about this. Oh, boy. This is all over the place. Got so many tweets here about data breaches and DMs mostly. Anyway, I saw a message here and it effectively said, look, this is terrible. This is a major breach. What appears to have happened here is there is some number of terabytes, and depending on who you read, it's a different number of terabytes, anywhere between 1.5 and 4 terabytes worth of data, which has been shared rather extensively on social media via the MegaNZ platform. And that data is mostly images and video of porn stars and actors and influencers and whatever else it may be. And as I understand it, what the platform does is the platform is a way for, I think the term they use here is performers, to monetize their performance. Now, whether that be videos or pictures or whatever else, if I'm honest, I've not dug too much into it. I'm pretty much just learning on the fly here. So it looks like it's, and I don't want to downplay it, but I was going to say just images and video. Obviously, that's very serious for the people who are in the images and videos. It doesn't look like there's any data around things like email addresses, passwords, other structured data, for want of a better term. It also doesn't look like there's anything in there which wasn't actually like deliberately published to the platform. So as best I can tell, it seems like the main issue here seems to be one that's more of copyright as opposed to a risk for personal information. I did see one tweet where someone said, look, actors on this service need to verify their identity with things like passports and driver's licenses. That would be a major issue if that happened because there's obviously privacy implications. A lot of people perform here, as I understand it, under stage names. So if that was possibly tying back a stage name to a real-world identity, I do understand that people do tend to get targeted in terms of, yeah, someone might see a porn star and they're like, okay, I'm going to figure out who this person really is and I'm then going to go and target them in real life. That would be terrible. As far as I can tell, information that enables you to do that is not out there. And the biggest issue with this is it seems to be the fact that information that should be behind a paywall is now not behind a paywall. I hope I wasn't disingenuous about explaining that. I'm sort of figuring this out as I go along as well. I have asked a few people, said, look, if you see structured data in there, such as email addresses, let's say if it was the customer database which was leaked, that would then be a good candidate for having been pwned. Obviously, that would be a sensitive data breach given the nature of the service. But it looks at the moment like this is a huge amount of data floating around, which should have been data that people paid money to access. It's probably the best summary I can give at the moment. All right, so that was that one. Now, another one. Now, this one is an absolute conundrum. And I'm just going to read the tweets I sent. When did I send this? 5 days ago. And I'm no closer to solving this one since I sent these tweets. I'm trying to trace down the origin of a massive breach someone sent me. Looks very much like a data aggregator, but I can't attribute it. Came from a cloud-hosted IP, so no clues there. My own data is there. Anyone see any clues indicating the source? Now, I dropped a bunch of my own data here into Pastebin. Nothing like finding your own personal information in a data breach. It does make it a little bit easier to verify because I can look at it and go, yeah, that's me. And because it's my data, I'm also happy to share it. And I think I just redacted a couple of things here. But what's curious about this is that it looks, for the most part, like a whole bunch of data which could have been scraped up off the web. So things like there's my YouTube channel there, my GitHub account, my Twitter account, my LinkedIn account, my about.me account, a few things there. What else was in here? I have a feeling my phone number might have been in there and I redacted it. address. Yes, my email address was in there. I redacted that before I put in there. Yes, redacted mobile phone number is there as well. So in fact, if I search for redacted, because I literally put redacted in square brackets here, a whole bunch of information, mostly publicly available. But again, we sort of come back to this point of it might be mostly publicly available, but I didn't want whoever this is to have it. Now, when I first looked at this, I was like, okay, data aggregator. And then I start probing away and finding things that are not data aggregator like. So I'm going to read the rest of the tweet thread here. As I probe deeper, working theory is that this is a CRM platform. Unique email addresses is in the tens of millions, and there are entries such as met at the 6th National Pro Bono Conference in Ottawa in September 2016. But then there's also a bunch of legal summaries. For example, case closing summary on USA versus redacted, and 10-3-11, detention hearing in court, 20 minutes plus travel split with redacted. There's someone's name there. I go on, another tweet. More indicators of source include lines such as this contact information was synchronized from Exchange, exported, and there's another one, exported from Microsoft Outlook, and another one references EverContact. So these all look like potential upstream sources of data. So these are services where we're talking about exporting from email addresses or transferring from one service to another. But it's got me absolutely stumped because I simply cannot figure out where it's come from. And there's so much personal data in there, my personal data in there. So particularly given the fact it impacts me as well, I really want to get to the bottom of it. People come up with lots and lots of suggestions and none of them, frankly, hold much water. None of them have got me any closer to solving the mystery here. I've been working with a couple of people to try and get to the bottom of it, but I simply cannot work it out. So I'm stumped. Now, I'm not sure what to do with it because I could load into Have I Been Pwned and it's like, hey, a whole bunch of personal data was exposed. I've got no idea who you should be angry at, which I don't really want to do because clearly this was an organization or an individual that has leaked it. I want to figure out who it is. And this is just driving me nuts trying to work it out. Anyway, we'll see. One of life's mysteries. Okay, now, blog post. I did write a blog post this week and I was really, really happy to write this blog post because it's a good story and it's also a good sequel to a story I wrote a few years ago. Now, the title of this blog post is Handling Huge Traffic Spikes with Azure Functions and Cloudflare. Now, in 2016, I was featured, or Have I Been Pwned was featured, on a program in the UK called the Martin Lewis Money Show. Now, before they featured Have I Been Pwned, one of the producers contacted me and said, we're going to put Have I Been Pwned on the Martin Lewis Money Show. When we do this, we have a habit of crashing big websites. Actually, what is exactly what they said? Because I put it here. I just wanted to get in contact to let you know we're featuring Have I Been Pwned on the program next week, saying it's a good way to check if your data's been compromised. I thought it best to let you know in case you need to put extra resources onto it. We do have a tendency to crash websites with traffic. Now, in 2016, I was like, nah, I got cloud. I got so much cloud that you won't be able to crash, you'll be fine. And I'm on Azure and it's PaaS and it will auto-scale. And as soon as my CPU goes up, I'll just get more CPUs, we'll be fine. And for a brief period there, I lost about a third of my traffic. Brief being like 2 minutes or something. And the interesting lesson that taught me was that when you have traffic that scales really, really quickly, auto-scale is just not a good mechanism. And the reason why is because in a case like primetime TV, which is what this is in the UK, imagine it's on the TV, you got mums and dads, normal everyday folks, like sitting around in the UK, and then you get hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions of people watching this, and then they all like pick up their mobile device at the same time when they see haveibeenpwned.com appear on the screen, they all go to the website at the same time. So you get this massive, massive sudden influx of traffic. So anyway, these folks reach out the other day and they're like, you know, just heads up, we're going to do this again. We know we crashed you last time because you wrote the blog post about it. And it's like, yeah, I know that. But this time I have moved all of the really critical API stuff into Azure Functions, which is serverless, which is then disconnected from this whole premise of Azure PaaS, where it's effectively still containers of fixed sizes and you've got to kind of fill one container to a certain point before you get another container. So I've moved away from that and I've moved into a pay-per-execution model, which is what functions are, and I've turned Cloudflare up to 11 as well. and I'm just caching a huge amount of stuff. So this was due to go out Sunday night UK time, Monday morning my time in Australia. And I put an item in my diary for 6 a.m. And I'm normally up well and truly before 6 a.m. But for some reason, Monday I wasn't. And I got up and I didn't open my messages and things until just after 6. And I see people starting to talk about the Martin Lewis Money Show and have I been pwned? I was like, oh yeah, the thing. Anyway, I went ahead and looked at my traffic and very, very quickly discovered that I hadn't lost any and there'd been a whole heap of it and everything had worked precisely as I'd hoped it would. So this is the follow-up blog post to that. And I've got a few sort of embedded tweets here of people talking about it. I show here how there's a just this sort of massive sudden spike of traffic at just, what are we, 6:22 a.m. my time, something like that. I've said we've sort of got this period of time here where there was 20,000 requests to the Origin website, so this is the one that still runs on PAS, over an hour. It's nothing, who cares about that. If I look at it though, the interesting thing is that the rate of scale change is the most poignant thing here. So it went from like 12 requests a minute to 2,500 requests a minute over the period of like only several minutes. Now, this is the Origin website. And the only thing that the Origin website's actually doing in this case is it's serving requests when people want to subscribe to the notification service. So when they say, yes, I would like to know next time I've been pwned, that still hits the Azure web application. So that scaled, that actually didn't need to scale because I never got close to actually using the resource I had available. But that's the sort of thing I do have to work on. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. Zero failed requests on that service. Happy days. We then get on to the more interesting one, which is the API that's hit when you're on the front page and you do a search. Now, at peak, I was doing 33,260 requests a minute on that, which is 554 requests a second. Every one of those is searching about 9.5 billion records as well. So that is a rather sizable piece of work. And it's not just the 9.5 billion too. It async queries another 133 million records in the pace that get loaded and have a been pwned. Also, zero records dropped, or zero requests dropped, which was really, really good news. My DTUs, data transfer units, on the SQL database did top out at about 40% because there is a SQL database that sits behind that notification service. And a little bit later on, I say, you know, one of the things I could do here is, rather than that web application hitting that SQL database straight away, I could just be dropping that in a message queue. Super, super fast, just to drop it in a message queue, respond immediately to the user. I can then have a background process that monitors the message queue, picks it up, drops it straight into the SQL database. My DTUs are still going to be spiking. There's still going to be the same workload on the database, but it's not going to be anything that would block the actual web application responding to the user quickly. So it might even be that what I should be doing is a combination of that and moving that API into serverless. Do the two things together. That could be good. Add it to my to-do list. So compared with last year, 32,000 errors over this 1 hour period with 386,000 requests. In fact, that the peak minute, there were 30,000 successful requests and 15,000 failed requests. Not so nice. Now, where are we here? Total requests. I want to look at Cloudflare as well. So I pulled the Cloudflare stats. So at peak, there were, what do we have here? We had 3.67 million requests. 3.51 million of those were cached, which is 96% cache hit ratio. So everything from the home page for Have I Been Pwned through to most pages, I did actually find that the 1Password page describing why I use 1Password was not cached, so that's now dropped into Cloudflare cache. Fix that one, easy solution. But everything else in there is things like images, JavaScript files, stuff like that. So they're just massively, massively cached at Cloudflare's edge. And I reckon the whole thing probably cost me about 40 cents. So that's all right, isn't it? Actually, I'm just looking here. I said 40 cents four years ago, when the thing crashed. I said, look, it probably would have only been another 40 cents to get a bigger machine for the period of time that I needed it. In this case, it's all just Azure functions that are being hit. You pay for the number of executions and the duration of the execution. I pay some egress bandwidth. At most, this would have been very, very low single-digit dollars. So absolute no-brainer. So I'm happy. I'd like to go for round three with Martin Lewis. I'd really like him to try and organically knock off Have I Been Pwned with traffic. Organically. No, don't go out and DDoS. Hopefully Cloudflare sort that out. And again, I think what I need to do is just take those subscription requests and move that over into functions and do the queue thing. If we did that, it'd be very, very, very resilient. So look, to be honest, this is just sort of this big laundry list that I have, and I'm sure many of you who run personal projects as well have, where it's like, hey, there are all these things I'd really like to do one day. I'll put it in a list somewhere, and one day I might get to it. So that's everything that I had for this week. Just looking at I've literally maintained a list here with data breaches that I'm right in the midst of working on. There's one here, I think I'm going to have to do the Twitter thing of, hey, does anyone have a contact at, because I can't get a response from. There's another one here which has previously been in the news. I'm just trying to figure out whether there's actual data for Have I Been Pwned in there. There's a couple of other ones here which is just massive, massive, massive spam lists from marketing companies, and I've got to try and figure out if I can attribute them back to a source. There's a whole bunch of credential stuffing lists here. There's a few others that have appeared on hacking forums, but I don't know if they know about it, and I've got to try and disclose it. So it's business as usual, really. Oh, I meant to actually mention this week, because of all the datas as well, mentioned this last week. I'm holding up another 64 gigabytes worth of DDR4 RAM, which needs to go into my Lenovo P1 in order to be able to do much, much, much more processing, because it does make things like queries, etc. I do run a local database as well. The whole other blog post one day will come about why I don't just do all this in the cloud. So yeah, I'm like literally scaling up Azure and also scaling up my laptop in order to try and handle this. Last thing this week is sponsor 1Password is this week's sponsor. I don't think I have to tell people why 1Password's cool, because it's something that I've been telling people for the last 9 years, most of those years without any commercial incentive whatsoever, because it is just a really, really good product. And if you don't have a password manager or you don't have 1Password, go and get it, give it a go. And particularly also if you're a family, get the family edition. I have it, you get 5 licenses out of it. I had my 10-year-old son Ari using it when he did the Kids Coding Club as well in London, which was super cool. So he's like logging on to Code Combat and 1Password's popping up there, and people are just like, wow, this is pretty good. So get it, get the family edition, and get everyone on board with it. When you have the family edition, you can share secrets between different vaults. So you can have one and like your partner has one, and then you can have a shared one and another one with the kids. Totally awesome. Give it a go. Thank you very much for watching this week. Next week is going to be a really significant one. You're going to have to wait and see why. See you then.